Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
So welcome to another Whole and Healthy Live podcast, and this week we have a wonderful episode for you all. This is kind of going to be a part of our period party series that me and Laura have been doing, where we're kind of looking at different aspects of your period, tracking it, things like contraception. We're going to look at things like PCOS, and today we're actually going to be looking at the whole idea of this whole taboo really around periods and women and the fact that we hide them and pretend we don't have them. And we have a special guest with us, Martha from Fab Little Bag, with us. And so we're just going to be having a wonderful conversation about all things periods and tampons and awesomeness like that. So, but before we dive on into that, just so you know, tickets for our retreat are currently available on live. I think by the time this goes live, we should have a few available still, but they are filling up really, really fast. So just head to wholehealthylive.com/retreats just for more info on that. But otherwise, welcome, Martha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a real genuine pleasure to be here.
Ah, I'm really excited to have our conversation. Just before we hit record, we were already starting to have awesome conversations about all things periods and everything. So, but before we dive in, Martha, tell us in a kind of Cilla Black blind date sort of style. I don't know if you used to watch Blind Date. Did you watch that?
I certainly did. Oh. It was absolute necessary viewing, yes, before a night out. Yeah.
It was. I love that show. I was always like, I love Cilla Black and just the oddness of the show and the, anyway, all the questions. But anyway, she would always ask everyone, what's your name and where'd you come from? So tell us a bit about yourself, Martha.
Sure. My name is Martha Silcott, and I live in London. I was born in London. I lived up north in Lancashire for the first kind of 10 years of my life. But then after that, I resettled down here. Oh. So I live in North London.
Nice. And,
yeah.
Wonderful. I love London. I was there actually just the other week. Both me and Laura were actually just for an event. And my brother lives in London. And I was just like, oh, London has such a fun vibe to it. It's just so much going on, and the weather was really lovely, so that really helped. And I'm always like, and it's so easy to find like bizarre health food shops and crazy. Do you know what I mean? There's just,
yes, there is pretty much anything you could imagine and a bit more going on at any time of day or night. Yeah. And it certainly is lovely when the sun's out, especially if you can get down by the river, because sometimes you forget there's a huge river that goes through the middle of London. Yeah. And it's beautiful on a gorgeous sunny day.
It is. Well, that's where I was. I was at South Bank and went to the Tate Modern, and it was so, so beautiful. And it made me laugh because I live in Glasgow. And when I first moved back here several years ago, I remember trying to find somewhere that would sell some sort of green juice, like a cafe that juiced things, and literally there was not one in Glasgow. There is now, thankfully, things have changed. Yeah. But there was not a single place in Glasgow that even would give me carrot juice, you know, anything like that. And then I remember at that time I went back to visit a friend in London, and it was like green juice and smoothies and almond lattes everywhere. I was like, oh, come on, Scotland.
Yeah, it seems to come over from kind of California, New York first, then hit London, and then permeate out, you know.
Yeah.
So that tends to be the pattern for the kind of health, the kind of different things that are going on in the health world.
Yeah. No, I think you're very much right. That is the case. And while we're talking about food, another question I always ask our guests is, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had what I nearly always have, which is toast and Marmite and a strong cup of tea.
Love it. I love Marmite. I am one of those people that, you know, it's the whole love or hate thing. I really like it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. But you have to get just the right amount with the ratio to the butter as well.
Yes. No, yeah, you do. Butter's important.
Yeah.
On the show, definitely. I feel like one day I want to make t-shirts that just says like eat butter pretty much.
Yes. I actually have a friend who does just that. She slices off a chunk of butter and just eats it. Now I love butter, but I can't do that. But I will have I'm more of, you know, I'll have a bit of bread with my butter, but I still need the bread, unlike my friend who just slices it off and downs it.
My husband's a bit like that. He's definitely more a bit of bread with his butter. To the point where I'm like, wow, I mean, there's a lot of butter going there, Joe. But he's one of these like tall beanpole, you know, 6 foot, whatever kind of guys. And I'm sure he probably just burns it all off. And tell us a little bit about so you run a business called Fab Little Bag. So tell us a little bit about that, about the business, and also just what your life looks like and the kind of what your work day looks like and any daily rituals or practices that you have along with running your own business and all of that. Yeah. That's actually probably about three questions in one. I've just realized.
Well, do you want me to start with explaining about what Fab Little Bag is, or do you want me to start with my kind of day and the craziness of life at the moment?
Let's start with what Fab Little Bag is, because that might help to anchor and give people that understanding.
So in a nutshell, it's a sanitary disposal bag, but it's a sanitary disposal bag with huge amounts of differences, because I invented it because I was sat on the loo one day having vowed never to flush another tampon again, having realised the pollution and the challenges that flushing tampons causes. And so I was sat there thinking, right, so what do I do then? And the options open to me were to wrap my tampon in lots and lots of toilet roll and put it in the bin, or to use, I rummaged around and found, you know, nappy sacks, and because I had young children at the time. So I tried both of those methods, and I actually hated both of them. They both made me feel icky and yucky and uncomfortable and awkward. I just didn't like it, because your bin fills up really quickly, and then, you know, you kind of empty it, the lid comes up, you get a bit of a waft of smell, and it's, I don't know, I just found the whole thing yuck. And then when I was around other people's houses, I depending on who it was, I felt uncomfortable leaving that nice little package in their loo. So you ended up doing what we call now the handbag smuggle. So you know, you don't want to leave it there, so you kind of sneak it out, put it in your handbag, and hope you remember to deal with it later. So, and I wasn't alone in that. We've since done research on the handbag smuggle, and 52% of women have done it at least once.
I've done it multiple times. I love that name, handbag smuggle.
You're praying for that kind of empty crisp packet in your handbag so you can put it in. And then I was just thinking, this is insane. Why on earth isn't there a sensible kind of easy solution for this? You know, it's bonkers. So I did some research, looked around, couldn't find any. So was so cross about the whole thing, I just decided I was going to invent it myself. So so I did. That sounds really simplistic. It took ages and was very complex and stressful. But anyway, fast forward a lot of years and a lot of challenges. But that's perhaps another podcast on entrepreneurs and things like that. And we have Fab Little Bag, which is it's a unique single-handed disposal bag that is opaque, seals completely shut, closed after you've inserted your used tampon or sanitary towel. So that gives you the security, the confidence, the discretion that you want at that particularly awkward, irritating time when you're disposing of a wad of blood-soaked cotton. So that's what Fab Little Bag. It basically, as well as all those practical points, the key behind it is really it genuinely gives you a much nicer experience at an awkward moment. So it replaces all that awkwardness and embarrassment, particularly with younger girls who see, you know, they're kind of feeling embarrassed about pretty much all aspects of period, sadly, but the whole disposal thing is particularly awkward. So it's about replacing all that awkwardness with confidence and being relaxed and in control. So that's what Fab Little Bag is. In terms of kind of my business and the day, we're still in kind of startup mode. We are a new company. We are kind of for sale in, you know, great places like Waitrose, Ocado, on Amazon and Ethical Superstore, and on our own website, and we have customers now all over the world, which is amazing. But we're still very new and we're still learning and growing as a business. And I now, thankfully, since last June, do have some team members, which has totally been a game changer for me. Because until last June, I was doing everything on my own, which was crazy.
Oh, it is. It's a lot, isn't it, when you're running a business?
It's pretty crazy because
everything.
You are not kind of necessarily skilled at all these different things. So you're constantly having to learn and figure it out and wing it a bit and take it on board and ask favors and make things happen. And it is because it's your passion as well, and you believe and feel so strongly about it. There's not a let up. There's not a kind of, oh, well, I've done that now, I can just chill out and not think about it for the next week or whatever. It is really a kind of 24/7 job with a never ending to do list. And I found that I did at one point ignore the warning signals of complete hitting a burnout wall.
Yeah.
And I hit the wall and literally had to just take myself to bed for about 36 hours and just not talk to anybody and just recoup. Because it's very, I mean, luckily I have an amazingly understanding husband, and I have two teenage boys, and, you know, they are an incentive to step away from the computer and turn the phone off and things like that. But I'm sure I could be even better than I am now at that as well. But I'm constantly still learning about trying to find that sweet spot of full on lots of hours work, because that's what the business needs, and not burning out and looking after myself better and getting, you know, out and about at least once in a day. I still struggle with that sometimes. Yeah. You know, it sounds insane. It's like, what's the big deal? Just get up and walk away. But it is harder than it sounds.
It is,
even for half an hour sometimes. So I haven't cracked it. I'm not. I'm still trying to find balances with exercise. Trying to fit exercise into my life. I find exercise generally really boring. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I have managed to do, which is fantastic, is I do yoga once a week on a Sunday. And that's really changed. It's really helped, genuinely helped. Even though it's once a week, it's really helped.
Oh, that's good. No, but you're right. I do think it's really hard. I think when you're running a business that's basically you're creating something from nothing, really, that's what you're trying to do, and often it's because you're deeply passionate about what you're doing. And I know me and Laura have had this conversation a lot, and I think this whole idea of balance, when you are doing something you deeply love and you feel like it's really making a difference, and you're very clear of why you're doing it, actually then to still balance out that, all right, Kezia, you know, I'm like that, I'm like, I need to make sure I go outside in a day. Like, you know, simple things. Make sure I don't know, drink enough water. Because you can just be stuck doing work, and the list never ends when you run a business. It just there's always more things you can do. But I know what you mean. I think last year I started to employ someone as like my admin assistant, sort of project manager, customer service person. And it honestly
game changer.
And everyone told me it would be. Everyone was like, as soon as you need to get someone, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. And then I did it. I was like, oh my goodness, my brain feels healthier. Like within a couple of weeks, my brain was just like, oh, this isn't, I'm not carrying everything. And I think that makes a big difference with it all.
And do you ever feel like occasionally I just have kind of IT overload, screen overload, you know, because you've been looking at screens, whether it's your phone or the computer, on a day where I've had no meetings that have taken me out, and I've just been, you know, from kind of 8 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, just and it makes you feel slightly nauseous.
Yes.
So, you know, it's really, that happened a couple of times, couldn't quite figure out what it was, figured out what it was, and I was like, okay, that's really unpleasant. So I'm, you know, I do make sure that I at least physically get up and get out of my office and, you know, even if it's wandering around the house, not wandering around the streets where I live, then it's still getting away from the screen. And that's really important, even if it's for short periods of time.
Yes, no, I find that. I not every day, but most days, I always try and do a walk. I live near a park with a little hill. There's literally, in 5-10 minutes, I can be at the top of the hill and I can look at the mountains and Ben Lomond and I can see very far, which really helps my brain. I think it helps my actual visual eyesight, just changing,
yes,
you know, that yes, perspective to see far. And it literally, it's one of those things, I don't do it every day, but a lot regularly, just because it's like 10 minutes because it does my brain in. You're right, screens. But I've actually, both me and Laura have recently started using blue filter glasses and we found that helpful with the amount of time we're on a screen. I don't know. I'll maybe email you after this. We've just started using them because it just filters out the blue light, which can, yes, be quite disruptive to your circadian rhythm. So it's kind of odd thing to do, but I've been using them for probably the last month and have found my brain is less full at the end of the day. So
right, that was something to try.
Yeah, and anyone listening, if you work at a computer all through the day, blue light filter glasses, I think you can just buy them on Amazon. I'll maybe put them in the show notes, the ones that me and Laura have used, because so many of us now do, as you say, work at a computer, whether we work for ourselves or whether we work for the council or whatever we do, there's a lot of computer work going on, and it can sometimes mush up, feel like our brains are getting a bit mushed with it all. But coming back to, I loved your story around why you started Fab Little Bag. I think they're so, because I never really thought about it until you kind of said that, of just sort of like the handbag smuggle. But I've had to do that so many times when I've, yes, had, you know, I go around to guys' friends that it was maybe a bunch of blokes living in one house and they don't have a bin in their bathroom. And you're like, oh.
Guys don't have bins in their bathrooms as a general kind, yeah, of rule, it seems. And also people who live in kind of houses, so I'm talking kind of older, you know, people of my age who live in a kind of house and have their downstairs toilets, mm, there's never a bin in there either, because they I say never, of course there is sometimes, but more often than not, there's no bin in the downstairs loo, quite often because it's quite a small space. And, you know, the homeowner wants to keep things quite minimal and easy, and it's not where they, presuming that they are a woman, would go to change her tampon or pad. She would go to her ensuite upstairs.
Yeah.
Or her bathroom upstairs, she wouldn't necessarily use the downstairs loo. So the thought process is not there. The amount of times I've said to girlfriends, you know, mate, why haven't you got a bin in the toilet, you know, downstairs? You're putting me in a really difficult situation. Well, not me, because I don't care, and I will go and deal with it, because that's kind of my life at the moment, yeah, talking about periods and disposal. But you're putting people in an awkward position and they're quite horrified. They just haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, what's also an absolutely fascinating aspect to this whole thing, which I'm sure your listeners would have a view on, is whether you're a flusher or a binner with regards to, yeah, tampons in particular. Most people these days, although some people do still flush sanitary towels, most people don't flush sanitary towels, they bin them. Mm. However, of the 9.4 million tampon users in the UK, 60% of those flush their tampons.
Wow.
That's nearly 2 billion tampons a year going down the toilet.
My goodness, that is so much.
I know. And the thing is that there's so many aspects to this. Most of the flushers, I categorize flushers into three categories. The first is the guilty flusher, which I was. So, you know it's not the right thing to do, but you don't fancy the alternative because it either grosses you out or makes you feel uncomfortable, or you just don't really understand what you're meant to do otherwise.
Yeah, or you don't have a crisp packet in your bag.
Yeah, you don't have a crisp packet in your bag. So you kind of just quickly flush it and it's like guilt for a few seconds and then it's gone, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But the guilty flushers, what we found in our research, they're actually genuinely feeling bad about the situation when you really start to talk to them, and they're so relieved when Fab Little Bag comes along, because they're like, oh, I don't have to be guilty anymore, I can just, salvation has come, you know. And that's really interesting. And then the majority of flushers are what I call gobsmacked. So they genuinely have not thought about what happens to a tampon after you flush it down the toilet. They genuinely think it's the right thing to do, and that they are convinced it tells you on the packaging that you should flush it. Now, it doesn't, but the manufacturers do not go out of their way to highlight what you should be doing. There's a tiny picture of a toilet with a cross on it on the underside of the box. But they just don't realise what they're doing can cause blockages in the toilets, blockages in the sewers, and even if it doesn't block anything, you stand the chance of it ending up in the rivers and the oceans, because the sewers in these in this country are designed to overflow in heavy rain to the rivers, which lead to the oceans, which is why you have people like Surfers Against Sewage, the Marine Conservation Society, organising beach cleanups every summer to pick up all the tampons, the applicators, the pads, the condoms, the cotton buds, because at some time over the last 20 years, inexplicably, people have looked at a toilet and treated it and seen it as a bin rather than somewhere just for bodily fluids to go down. So it's extraordinary. And the what's so fascinating is that the flushers and the binners do not know each other exists. It's hilarious.
You're right.
That whatever they do, everyone is doing.
Yes, because I never even thought, I didn't even know you could flush tampons down the toilet. I think maybe it was because just my mum, you know, growing up, she was just like, no, you never put it down the toilet kind of thing. Yeah. So I've been that person that in the past, when there's no crisp packet and there's no bin, I've wrapped it in tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of toilet roll and hoped that I find a bin quick enough before it seeps through. Because if you've got heavy periods, actually, you know,
you need a lot of loo roll.
Need a lot of loo. I'm like, you know, if you've got a nice light little period, but when I was a teenager, my periods were mental. And so you literally, and then you use about half a roll of toilet roll, which is just a waste, you know, to then hope that you find a bin.
Sometimes, I don't know if this has happened to you, but it's happened to me, there's not enough toilet roll there in someone else's house, you know, and you're like, oh my God, what do I do?
Yeah, I can't take this dangling thing down the stairs. Yes. So like, it's just, it's just not the dumb thing, unfortunately, which is again a whole other topic in itself.
Yeah, exactly. But just like you weren't aware that people could or did flush like that, the flushers are not aware that they are doing anything wrong on the whole, and they don't realise that people are binning. And you get flatmates who live with each other who do not know what each other is doing. And when we, you know, wherever I am, this always comes up, and we're talking, and it's suddenly, well, I bin my tampons, and they're like, well, I flush, and then they're like, what?
Yeah,
it's a really interesting situation, and you know, we're trying to again raise the awareness that there are flushers and binners out there. You might not realise each other exists, but you know, that is for one reason only. We don't talk about it.
Yeah,
disposal is like the taboo within the taboo. You know, no one talks about periods in a comfortable manner, but no one talks about what they do with it after they've finished with their product.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like,
No, so, it is. It's this whole thing. And I think a lot of it does come down to, and to be honest, I've only really started to connect with this more in the last couple of months, where I've realized, you know, there is this huge taboo around periods, just in general. And you're right, there is, and like, within that taboo, there is this taboo of how do you dispose of it? It's like, well, what do you do with your pads? What do you do with your tampons? And what do you do if there's not a bin? It's kind of this thing that we all deal with privately, but have never really, isn't just not something you would talk about. And like, I'm not even sure if a lot of women listening would even say to a friend, hey, you could do with a bin or something in your, do you know what I mean? Like, you were talking about that downstairs toilet thing.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, you could do with a bin in there, or a good guy friend even of saying, you know what, as a female, you need to buy a little bin for your for your bathroom, like, if you want to have female friends. But it is such an odd thing.
This whole we're very passionate about making it normal to talk about periods and feel relaxed about it. We're heading our campaign with hashtag screw the taboo, and we want to just get everyone talking about it a little bit more, because by talking about it, it becomes more normal. And guess what? It is normal. You are healthy and normal by having your period. You are, if you're female, you're going to have it at some point, regardless of kind of the contraception you may use, which holds it off for a while or whatever. But you know, you're going to be able to deal with periods at one point or another in your life. So the more education there is, the more discussion there is, the more relaxed terminology. I mean, if you think about all the gazillions of names we have, a lot of them a bit derogatory and negative about your period, you know, being on the rag, the painters are in, aren't flow, you know, there's just all these kind of odd ways of describing being on your period. And it's often talked about in kind of hushed tones, and people in offices listening will no doubt relate to the classic of, you know, getting the tampon, shoving it up your sleeve and tootling off to the toilet. You know, and really it's kind of like, it doesn't need to be hidden. It shouldn't need to be hidden. And part of what we want to achieve is actually also engaging with men in this debate, because some of this is because women don't want men to know, and men have a negative spin on it, or ignorance, actually, most of the time. So, you know, we need to involve men in this debate rather than keeping them at arm's length, because the more relaxed and cool about it they are, and the more knowledge they have about what actually goes on when a woman is having her period, then the better it is for everybody.
Yes. So true, because it is. It's a very much a one sort of sided conversation, and even that, it's a hushed kind of embarrassed conversation. And actually, and then you get people. I see a lot in my like one to one practice with people. Sometimes women don't want their periods, so they maybe aren't getting their periods, not because they're on the pill or some other contraceptive, just naturally they're not getting their period, might be PCOS, and they're not bothered. And so they have such negative connotations with periods, they don't want it. And actually, I think our periods, you know, are an amazing part of being a woman and a real sign of your health and well-being. So I often say to my clients, I'm like, well, I'm going to ask about your poo and your periods, because they're a really good indicator of how you're doing internally. And and it's one of those things we're just very disconnected from, that we kind of just want them to disappear and go away and push, you know, that total thing of smuggling a tampon up your sleeve. I've done that so many times in offices, and you're just like, why? Or a pad, like a humongous, you know, these humongous pads that you're trying to shove up your sleeve. And it's because we don't have conversations around it, and we've allowed our periods, which happen every single month, to become something that's meant to be secret, or something we're to be ashamed of, which is ridiculous.
That word shame is very powerful. And you know, I think I don't want to kind of go off too much on tangents, but you know, in other countries and other cultures, the shame is massive, and women are sent out and made to live in, you know, little huts away from everybody for the entire time, and not allowed to cook and, you know, be in the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. So in some ways, you know, the issues we're dealing with in our culture today are obviously much less extreme, but nevertheless, there is definitely feelings that are very negative associated with periods. Let's not beat around the bush, you know. Periods for most people, most of the time, are irritating or annoying or a bit of a pain. But for some people, they're absolutely catastrophically bad and really physically and mentally very, very tricky. And for other people, they're easy peasy, you know, hardly notice a change, deal with it just fine. And then for the chunk in the middle, you know, they're manageable and we manage them, but they're not particularly enjoyable. They might be a bit painful. They get in the way, you know, that kind of thing. At the same time, they, as you said, are an absolute thumbs up from your body to say that things are working well, you know, you're healthy, your body is functioning as it should be, which is a blessing.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget the obvious, which, you know, without periods, we wouldn't be able to have children. And without children, there wouldn't be anybody. Yeah.
There would be no human race.
So, you know, it's kind of a fundamental thing as well.
Yeah, it really is.
And the other thing I'd say is, because some people have the view that, you know, with Fab Little Bag, we're trying to kind of, we're playing into that shame, we're trying to hide it and hide the remnants and things like that. Well, what I say to that is frankly, absolutely not. What we're doing is trying to create a confidence where there is awkwardness and embarrassment and shame about the disposal bit of it. Because at the end of the day, whilst we're not you know, we don't want to be embarrassed or feel those negative feelings about the end product or blood, basically. Mm. It's still a bodily fluid. We don't go waving around our poo in people's faces.
We
want to be discreet. There is nothing shameful about wanting discretion as part of your period management with the end product. I don't see that as a contradiction at all.
No, me neither. Well, it's practicalities. It's like blood stains things. So just from a practical point of view, I can't be bothered to get a bunch of blood out of some clothes. You know, it's like, it's just very practical. Just, it's fine. It doesn't mean it's, you're not saying something negative about it just by wanting to dispose of it in a, like a swift and efficient kind of manner. Saves the environment on many levels because we're not wrapping toilet roll a zillion times around things.
Yeah, I mean, the Fab Little Bag itself helps environmentally on two points. One is it keeps tampons, pads, wipes, condoms, whatever else you want to put in them, out of the toilets. So if by keeping it out of the toilets, you're keeping it out of the rivers and the oceans. So you're stopping the aquatic pollution that we have from all these products that people willingly flush down the toilet. And secondly, it's simply ensuring, I mean, there is no perfect world with regards to wastage. We haven't figured that out.
No.
We haven't done a great job. But what we do at the moment is that these products are destined for landfill. So Fab Little Bag ensures that it gets to landfill in a hygienic, discreet way. And then once there, Fab Little Bag degrades, and it degrades in within about 18 to 36 months, depending on the circumstances at landfill. So, you know, what's inside the bag will take a lot longer than the bag itself to break down. So we're not adding negatively to
kind of that process.
Mountains.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of it is in terms of, I went onto your website and you've got a great video there of a conversation with a bunch of women where you're just talking about this, which I highly recommend listeners go ahead and have a look at that. But it is, I think it is that starting the screw the taboo, that kind of conversation actually starting around that. Yeah, there's the practical element of it, but it's also getting women to talk a bit about, okay, well, how do you are you a flusher? Are you a binner? Have you ever thought about it? Do you what do you do? And I think that's really powerful. And I think it would be fun for those of you listening, if you feel like, you know what, in my life, periods are a bit of a taboo and I don't really talk about that. Actually, whether you're on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter, wherever it is, maybe post a picture of just you not shoving your tampon up your sleeve or just proudly carrying a pad, you know, with the hashtag screw the taboo. Because I do think as women, actually, it is a big thing that we need to shift of this around being okay about having conversations about our periods and telling people, hey, maybe you need to put a bin in your house, or not feeling like we have to carry our entire huge bag to the toilet so we can secretly do you know what I mean? Secret, like, yeah, our enormous handbag, just so we can secretly pull out one tiny thing from the pocket. Actually, this is a natural and a normal thing, and I think a lot of what you're doing with Fab Little Bag, Martha, is a part of that whole conversation, which I think is brilliant. Really good.
I certainly hope so. We want to just add a big dose of feeling normal and relaxed into this very kind of tricky area, which has got so many layers to it, which seems to have built up over time. And I mean, even if if your listeners don't want to go on social media or they don't feel comfortable like that, you know, just ask your best mate, are you a flusher or a binner?
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, that is my opening line to almost everyone I meet. And it breaks down the barrier right there, right then. And you can go from there to have a conversation. And one thing I would say is, you know, my company, Fab Little Bag, is not about judging. It's not about making judgments about how you manage your period. That is entirely a personal choice. Yeah. And we totally respect that. We are simply here to say, okay, flushers, you know, are you aware? Because most of the flushers are not aware of the damage it can cause environmentally or the issues it can cause to blockages. Because if it doesn't block your toilet, there's no...
You'll never know about it. Yeah,
it's your neighbour. I mean, we've had a number of people write in and say, you know, I was motivated to get these because my neighbour knocked on my door and basically said, could you stop flushing your tampons down the toilet, please? Because it's just all my sewage has just come up in my bathroom and my garden. And that's pretty embarrassing. If you want to get into what's embarrassing, that feels a bit bad. So, you know, even if it's not blocking your toilet, it might be blocking someone else's further down the street. And, you know, a little tiny change of habit can avoid a lot of these challenges. And so it's really just about education and then doing whatever feels comfortable for you. I mean, you know, for example, we have... not just the disposable options, moon cups are being used by more and more people these days, which is fantastic because moon cups are better for the environment. I mean, they are made from silicone, which doesn't degrade, but you would only go through a much smaller number of moon cups in your life than you would tampons, for example. Yeah. So environmentally, they are better. Economically they're better because you only, you know, I think it's
I use a moon cup and I started for economic reasons and travel reasons years ago when I was traveling to like India and you know, I was like, I'm not always gonna have somewhere to dispose of it, but as you say, we're all different, so I use a moon cup and I'm fine with that, but Laura doesn't like that and she uses pads and I think is looking into using reusable pads.
Many more options coming forward that are kind of in the reusable category, which, you know, ultimately is absolutely fantastic. And we're very, you know, what we are pro is women managing their periods in whatever way works for them. So if you use a moon cup, that is awesome, that's great. Good for you.
But not everyone does. Like, I chatted to people.
Don't criticize people who choose to do a different thing. And we do get some of that coming back at us. But, you know, I think everyone, each to their own, it's such a personal choice. One's period is actually a very personal experience. Like, no two periods are the same. And in fact, I can say, you know, as you get older, your periods change again. Yeah. You know, how my periods are now compared to how my periods were when I was 18 is entirely different. It's an ever-changing situation anyway, and you can you know, it can get better, it can get worse. It's just something that is ultimately super personal. So we're just here to be helpful for those who want it, and encourage more communication, more discussion, so that everyone can just feel a little bit more comfortable.
That's wonderful. And where can people find you? Where would be the best place for people to go if they want to find out more?
If you're interested to just know more, then do come to the website, which is simply www.fablittlebag.com. There's lots of information there, as well as, you said, the video, which was super fun to film. It was just literally five strangers, never met each other before. We sat around a table, we talked periods for 2 hours. We looked at, I then, after talking for about an hour about periods and what they did and how they felt, and there's a lot of emotion involved in actually managing a period, incidentally. And so we talked a lot about that. And then I showed them Fab Little Bag. And actually, you see that moment on the video, which is great. But And then we kind of, they played around with it, and we looked at all the ways it worked and stuff like that. And some were flushers, some were binners. But what was lovely for me was the flushers were left feeling educated and feeling like they didn't want to flush anymore. They'd prefer, and now they had a kind of cool
solution,
way
yeah.
to do it. They were much more, they basically were converted into being binners. And if I can convert a flusher into a binner,
yeah.
that's like, woohoo,
yeah,
job done. So that's my kind of goal ultimately as well, is to get everyone binning. They don't have to use Fab Little Bag to bin, but you know, if they're not flushing, then that's great.
Yes. No.
So sorry, I didn't answer your question. There was Fab.
Yeah.
There was a website, and then we are for sale in some Waitrose stores. Yeah. About 50 different stores up and down the country. Ocado, if you use Ocado for your home shopping.
Yeah.
Amazon, which is obviously places where lots of people do those different bits of shopping. Ethical Superstore. There's a great brand of organic tampons and pads called Time of the Month. We're also with them, and we do pop up in various subscription boxes as well. I've probably forgotten some other places too. But yeah, so either through our website, Amazon, or Whole Foods shops as well.
Yes,
but
they're
down south. Yeah, they're mainly down south. So yeah, so you can find us, and we'd love to hear from people. If you've got any questions, or you disagree with something, or you'd like to know more information, you can email me directly at martha@fablittlebag.com. I'll happily take the time to read your inquiry and get back to you.
Wonderful. That's so good. I've so loved this conversation, Martha. And I think in terms of takeaways for those listening, it really is, as Martha was saying, this isn't about judgment or you should be doing this or this should be your experience. Like, don't, I always say to my clients, don't should all over yourself. It's worse than shitting all over yourself, I think.
Yes.
Really, really not. But this is just about, but I love that question, is maybe do ask your friends next time you've got a girls' night of like, are you a flusher or a binner? And just start that conversation off. Grab a bottle of wine, have a bit of a chat, and just open that up to make it a really normal thing. So thank you so much, Martha, for this conversation, for sharing your wisdom and your journey and all the stories. It's been really, really helpful.
And for those of you
listening, if you want to know more of the stuff we've talked about, then we'll have show notes at wholehealthylive.com in the podcast section. So we'll have links to Martha's site and all the different things that we've talked about. Otherwise, we'll see you all next week for another episode.